praise the Lord for how He reaches down and saves sinners such as we. Amen? And what a blessing, what a blessing. It's just a joy and a blessing to have the choir back. Of course, this is, I guess, our third Sunday with our choir back. And you just don't realize what you have until you don't use it for a while. But thank the Lord for our choir. Thank the Lord for you being here. And welcome this morning, those watching Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. And the Lord has given us a great day on the outside. We got wonderful fall weather and sunshine all day today. And it's my prayer that the sun, the S-O-N, would shine on the inside of God's house. And so we are looking forward to the two services we have today. And, of course, tonight will be Facebook Live and only, and so we'll continue doing things that way for a while longer. But again, it's just good to be here and glad to see your smiling faces or smiling eyes if you're wearing a mask. And they had a thing on the news the other day of how you can let somebody know, you know, as you pass by, and generally you'd, you know, smile or whatnot. And how do you let somebody know you're smiling with a mask on? And they went on, they said, it's just all in the eyes. You just squint your eyes. I'm sure there's been a whole lot of winking going on, but got to be careful about that. But anyway, I'm glad we can have a little humor with the way things are in our day as we know it. And again, we do welcome and encourage those to wear masks. Again, our pews are spaced with a tape, and just trying to do our best to stay well here at Calvary. And this morning I want to mention a few things before we take a moment and pray. As many of you know, I'm sure the majority knows that Miss Taylor had her baby Langston, just the other day, and so we wanted to announce that. What a beautiful baby boy, baby Langston. Langston Aaron Brooke. He was born on October 15th at 3:31 p.m., 8 pounds, 11 ounces, and 21 and a half inches long. So we praise the Lord for a healthy baby and a healthy mama and dad. And so God's good all the time. I do want to say thank you, church, for the pastor appreciation gift last Sunday. I was totally taken off guard, but the gift given on your behalf to me, we appreciate that. We continue to dedicate our heart to the Lord and to you. And so we love you for that. Fall Festival / Movie Night, Saturday, November the 14th. The time will be announced the closer we get to it. And we're really, we've done some talking, and we're hoping to have a neat little thing out there and with some type of screen and spaced out seating. And I believe it's going to be good time of fellowship. And so let's remember that. Baptism service is going to be on November the 15th, the following day, Sunday. And Brother Snyder Turner will be here baptizing Jessica King. And so this was, I believe, one of his converts. And so we're looking forward to that on that Sunday morning. And let's just remember everyone else on the prayer list. And we serve a God today who answers prayers in His own timing. Amen. He has a way of working all things together for good. We are not missing out. We're a child of God. The good, the bad, the ugly. He is in charge and He is working. And so we praise the Lord for that. And I want to welcome our visitor this morning and who's come our way. And so welcome to Calvary. Make yourself at home. And we appreciate the visit. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're a thankful people. We're thankful that salvation was given not to the Jews, but to the Gentiles only. Or not to the Jews only, but to the Gentiles. It's Jew and Gentile. It's It's bond or free. Everyone, Lord, the invitation to salvation is extended to this morning. And we're thankful for that. Lord, I pray this morning that you would be with all the needs of the church, all of those who are shut in, those who have had surgery, those who are having surgery, those who have sent loved ones home to heaven. Lord, the plate is full this morning, but it's your plate, and we're lifting it up to you that you would minister to those in need. Father, thank you for Calvary Baptist Church. I pray that you would bless those that are here. And if there's someone that is here that doesn't know you, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. And also maybe for the Christian that's here that needs to be brought nigh to the cross, maybe they've been following afar off, let today be the day that they do that. Come back to the cross. But Lord, we are here to say thank you for who you are and for what you do. This morning we pray for our country. We pray for our world. You know what we need, and so we rest our case with that truth. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our choir, if you'll stand. Church, if you'll stand with me this morning, could we all stand and sing that chorus that says, there's something about that name, the name of Jesus. You can be seated. Pray for the choir this morning. We're going to go back and pick up a song we haven't done in some time that says, "We Will Remember."
with signs and wonders. You've shown your power with precious blood. You've shown us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end.
Thank you for the handoff, Brother David. What a blessing already to be here this morning and feel the presence of the Lord. And we will remember what the Lord has done. No doubt there's going to be some future turbulence we'll have to go through individually and collectively and corporately together. But we will look back and know that our God is faithful. And so we, of course, we cling to the promises of God. And we know in future tense, He will always, always come through. Praise the Lord for past victories. This morning we're going to be in the Old Testament book of Judges. Judges chapter number 1 is where we're going to be. Again, I want to thank those for watching on Facebook. We appreciate you. And what a blessing it is to have you viewing, being part of our service. And Judges chapter number 1 this morning, we want to try to share some things with you that I hope will be a blessing and a help during your Christian journey, your Christian experience. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read out of Judges chapter number 1, verse number 19 and verse number 21. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name one more time. And Father, I ask that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord, that you would quicken my mind, give me spiritual power and physical strength. I pray you, Holy Spirit, would communicate the truths of your word to the hearts of your people, those watching, those that are here. And may it be said by the time we leave, we were helped in the house of God, and it was good being there. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The book of Judges, chapter number 1, notice if you would in verse number 19. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Verse number 21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. That's reading our two text verse this morning, our two text verses, verse number 19 and verse number 21. Let me say as we begin this sermon that after the death of Joshua, there was no leader of Israel. We always hear after the death of Moses, but now Joshua is dead. And so after his death, there was no leader for Israel. Therefore, because of that, each tribe of Israel were to secure their own part of Canaan. And so there was no more Moses, no more Joshua. Now it was just the tribes. And let me say while I'm on that subject that Moses was used to lead God's people out of Egypt. Joshua was used to lead God's people into Canaan. And so now in the book of Judges, we have a temporary time frame where there was no leader. But we know ultimately that God raised up judges to govern the affairs of the Israelites and to get rid of the enemy that was in the land and secure peace while there. But during this transition, after the death of Joshua, each tribe had to go to battle for themselves. I want you to notice in verse number 4 that we see that Judah, the tribe of Judah, the people of Judah, was on a winning streak. In verse number 4 of chapter 1, the Bible says, and Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites, the Perizzites, into their hand. And they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. You go on and you read verse number 10. We'll see Judah's winning streak continuing. Verse number 10, and Judah went against the Canaanites that dwelt in Hebron. Now the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba. And they slew Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmia. Those three in verse number 10, most believe were the giants of Anak, Goliath's family members, so to speak. And so we see that Judah is on a winning streak, this tribe. It continues on in verse number 12 and in verse number 13. We see in verse number 12 that Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Achish my daughter to wife. Verse number 13, we find out that Ahithophel is the one who indeed took that city, and he had Caleb's daughter to wife. And so Judah is on a winning streak, kind of like our Braves have been to this point. We won't go no further right there. We won't go no further, because if they don't do something tonight, same old, same old. Let me just stay spiritual this morning. I do best when I stay on spiritual matters, all right? Lost half the people watching. And that's in person. Judah was on a winning streak. And we've seen that in verse 10, verse 4, verse 10, 12, 13. But 17 says it as well. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites that inhabited Zephath and utterly destroyed it. And the name of the city was called Hormah. In verse 18, and Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. We see Judah being on a winning streak. But then in verse number 19, things are slowing down for Judah. They began to struggle in the valley. Again, verse number 19 says, and the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. And so now we see this winning streak is coming to an end. Judah is in the valley and they're struggling. Now, this morning, with that said, I want you to notice a certain contrast in verse number 19 and verse number 21. A contrast between the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. Verse 19 tells us, let's read it again. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain. Notice this, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley. Look in verse number 21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. We see a contrast here between the tribe of Judah in verse number 19 and the tribe of Benjamin in verse number 21. Now, this past week, I learned what that is by helping Lily in her school. What that's called is an antonym. It's an antonym. You say, well, what in the world is an antonym? Well, some of you may know, but I had to be refreshed, and I learned that an antonym is opposite words or phrases. For example, up, down, hot, cold, in, out. These are antonyms. They're words or phrases that are opposite. But then there's synonyms. And a synonym are words that mean the same thing, but are used in different ways of saying them. Especially if you don't want to use the same words over and over, you start to try to articulate your words and use different words. For example, synonym, hurt, wounded, happy, excited. These are synonyms. Someone might say that I'm happy, I'm very excited, instead of saying I'm happy, happy, or happy, happy, happy. Different words, but they mean the same thing, just trying to articulate the language. But what we have here in these two verses, verse number 19 and verse number 21, we have a phrase in an antonym form. In verse number 19, there's the phrase, could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley. In verse number 19, did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. And so when we stand back and take a look at these two verses, we see the contrast is simply this, that Judah tried, but Benjamin did not try. Judah tried to secure their land. Judah gave effort to make things safe. But in verse number 21, we see that Benjamin did not try to make things safe. Benjamin did not try in his tribe to secure the land and move forward with the Lord. Let me say this, church, this morning, that while Canaan belonged to the people of God, war and battle would always be a part of fully enjoying the Lord. And we have two examples here of those that were trying. And then we have the example on the other end, those who were not trying. You know, the same goes for you and I this morning. The same goes for us, those of us that are saved and know Jesus, that while salvation sets us free from the domain and power sin has over us, we will always, always, while we're on planet Earth, always have to contend with that element of sin. While we will never see or experience hell as believers, the devil will always try to dominate and to intimidate us. Therefore, we must fight. And so that raises the question this morning, starting with me, extending to you and those of you. And the question is, what is the attitude of our heart in our Christian life? Are we fighting, struggling, battling, and continuing? Or is our attitude, what's the use? We see in the tribe of Benjamin, they had that kind of attitude, what's the use? And we see in the tribe of Judah that they had the right attitude. Though they were struggling, they had the right kind of attitude that they would lock in with the enemy and fight. This morning, when it comes to the attitude of our hearts, we're either in that one category, could not, or we're in the next category, will not. And that's the question I ask to all of us this morning. What category are we in? What category are you in? Are you in the could not category with the things that's going on in your life and taking place? It's not that you're not trying. It's just you just at this time have not gotten victory over it. Or the door hasn't opened. The window of opportunity has. It's not that you're not trying. It's just that you cannot at this time. It may take a little longer to get where you want to go. It may take a few more swings at the ball in order to hit that run in until those opportunities open up. Or are you, am I, in the did not category? What's the use this morning? The devil's always going to be here to oppose me. What's the use this morning? Sin, there's always an appeal to sin. What's the use this morning to even try? I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. What's the use? I'm just going to sit and soak and wait on the second coming. That's the area that these two tribes were in this morning. So with that said, I want to preach for a few moments on that subject. Could not or did not? Could not or did not? And I want to share with you a few things that I hope will be a help to you out of these verses and another verse in chapter 2. When it comes to these two categories of living for the Christian, those who are trying and those who are not trying, number one, I see a command that's given. Notice if you would in chapter number 2, in verse 2. The Lord gave a command to try. He says in Judges chapter 2, in verse number 2, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of the land, of this land, ye shall throw down their altars. He goes on and he says, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? We see in verse number 2 a command here. And the first part of this command has to do with separation. Notice again, he says in verse 2, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. We have to remember this morning that they were in Canaan land. The children of God and their tribes, they were in the promised land. And as you have heard through your years of listening to teaching and preaching, and you know that they were there and there were battles there. And so the Lord says that there's always going to be a battle in Canaan land. There's always going to be some ground to be won. There's always going to be a fight to fight. He says, but and enemies in the land. But while you are there and while you're living, make no league with them, inhabitants in the land. Don't make company with the enemy. In fact, the word league here, that word word league, it means alliance or covenant. And he's telling him to, he says that you are basically in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. Don't enter into no covenants with those that are not of like faith. Don't enter into an alliance. Don't be best buds with. Now, let me say this, that we know that Jesus ate and he sat with, he talked with sinners in the New Testament. That's one thing, reaching out to one, trying to be the light. But it's a whole other thing being conformed to their lifestyle. It's a whole other thing that the church of God and the people of God do not conform to the world system and everything that the world's about. You see, it's a battle this morning. I think it goes without saying, with the upcoming election and everything taking place, and all of those agendas from the left and what we have going for us on the right, there's no debate about it that this world is getting hard and it's getting more evil and perhaps will continue until Jesus comes. Lawlessness and attitude and all of those things that follow that. And you see, the Lord this morning not only has given a command to Judah and given a command to all those tribes in Benjamin, but we have the same command today to be separate from the people of this world, from not engaging in sinful behaviors with this world, not adapting and living by the system of this world. Romans chapter number 12 and verse 2 says this. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove or to test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word conform means to fashion alike. It means to be one with. And so the word back in Judges chapter number 2 God had for his people in Canaan was, don't be fashioned alike with them. Listen, there was idolatry in Canaan. There were false gods being worshipped, and there were actually altars there in dedication to those false gods that was being worshipped. The day and time in which we live, there are still false gods being worshipped. There's still idolatry taking place in our land. And simply, idolatry is anything that we put before God. Anything that we put before God. And so there's the command to be separate. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says this. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And so we're taking a step back and we're looking at these two tribes. And we have Judah. And they've been on this winning streak. And then they got to the place where they were slowing down and they struggled in the valley. It's not that they didn't want the victory. They just could not have that victory at that moment. But then there's Benjamin who did not try. They did not try to drive out the enemies of the land, at least in this portion of Scripture we're looking at. And so there's a contrast. This is an antonym. This is something different. Doesn't mean the same. They were going in two separate directions. And we see that Benjamin, they were becoming one with the people of the land. Notice again in chapter number 1, in verse 21, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. They just said, you know, instead of fighting them, we're just going to compromise and allow them to come on in, and we're going to be like them. Because this morning, if we're not moving forward in our Christian life, if we're not fighting the enemy, if we're not taking a stand, and we're not saying what's wrong and what's right, and letting that be a conviction in our hearts and living our life and raising our family by those standards, then we too have compromised and become one with the enemy. And so we see that there's a separation here. The Lord says back in chapter number 2 in verse 2, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. So there's a command given. And the first part of that command was separation, but then there was a second part of that command given, and that is demolition. Notice what he says in verse 2 again. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. And so part of God's people getting to a place of enjoying the land had everything to do with demolition of certain altars. The Bible says that ye shall throw down their altars. That word throw, or the words throw down, means to demolish. We know that when Joshua, when he led the children of Israel, when he was alive, into Canaan, there were fortified places such as Jericho. And there were strongholds, and there were altars that were erected to false gods. When Joshua was the leader, you know the story, they passed over the Jordan River, and the Lord rolled it back upon a heap. And as soon as they got into Canaan land, it was Jericho. And Canaan land, Jericho. And Jericho, on the inside of those walls, it was bolted, it was barred. No one went out, no one went in. It was a fortified place. And so Joshua had to take care of Jericho. And you know, he marched around Jericho, and the Lord came through as he said he would, and the walls came down. But it seemed as though every step of the way in Canaan and getting it to where it was livable for God's people, there was battles after battles, strongholds, and there were altars that had to go. And so this is a demolition phase. Let me give you an example. We're in Judges chapter number 2. Go to Judges chapter number 6. In Judges chapter number 6, in verse number 25 and 26, Gideon is now the leader. He's one of the judges that were called to govern over the people of God before the kings came along. And one of the first things that the Lord commanded Gideon to do was to demolish altars and erect altars. Notice in verse number 25, if you would. Judges 6, verse 25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Gideon, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Verse 26, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. I want you to notice here that just days within Gideon being into office, the Lord had Gideon demolish some altars, or an altar that was in Canaan. But I want you to notice where this altar was at. This altar in verse number 25, the Bible says, middle ways through that verse, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath. This first false God altar that was erected, that God commissioned him to tear down, was at home. His father had this altar erected. His father was worshiping Baal. And so the moment that Gideon gets in office, the first place that has to be cleaned out is home. And I want to say this morning, that if we as God's people are ultimately going to enjoy the blessings of God, no doubt we have to tear down altars, all those idols that we may have scattered out in our life. Those things must go, but we must start at home. Start at home. And my prayer is, Lord, let me continually lead my home, my wife and I, in such a fashion where there are no idols there. You know, things can creep in if you're not careful. That favorite TV show, watching the Braves, and in spite of them losing, still watching, and missing church, and all the other sports, and all the other things that's going on. Sports is just one form of idolatry. It can be. But other things, it could be something on the TV. It can be entertainment. It can be movies or sports. It can be, I don't know, just anything within the home that's being erected, that's being lifted up and taking God's place. Our altar demolishing needs to start at home. Make sure that we have all the right shows being viewed. Make sure everything we're doing has its own rightful place, and that God is at the head of the home. And having the preeminence, the Bible says in Colossians, first place in the home, make sure we have that in its rightful place. Gideon went to his home place and he had to throw down some altars, demolish some altars. And then in verse number 26, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. And so we see in the place of that altar, he built a righteous altar for the Lord where he would present sacrifice to him. And it goes without saying, if we want to get to the place where we could not and will not, if we want to get to the place where we're wrestling and we're battling and we're moving forward with the Lord, we have to get to that place where we tear some things down and build some things up that are right for us, that's good for us and wholesome for us. And so we see that there is a demolition involved by God's command. There's separation involved by God's command. And again, I want to say that Judah was trying. Judah was attacking all of these altars, but Benjamin was not. What is it in your life this morning, those watching, those that are here, as I survey my own life, what is it that needs to come down, needs to change? What do I need to replace some things with some wholesome things? Benjamin did not. Judah did. I want you to notice a second thing. Not only do we see a command given when it comes to the subject of could not versus did not, but then we see compromising was present. I mentioned this a moment ago, but I'll say it more in detail now. Notice in verse number 21 again. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. What was it that was compromised? What took place in the life there within the tribe of Benjamin? What did they not do this morning? Well, I want you to notice the compromise had to do with their fighting. A second thing I want you to notice is that this tribe, Benjamin, along with many other tribes, they were actually crafty in their compromise. So we see in verse number 21, they did not, but the Jebusites dwell with them, the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Go over to verse number 28, and I want you to see something here. And it came to pass, notice this, when Israel was strong, that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. And so we see here that they don't have any more excuses to give as if they did to begin with. They were strong. Israel was. And instead of driving them out like they were supposed to, they made a league with them. Notice the word tribute here. It means forced labor, or it means to labor for. And so we see, in essence, they partially obeyed. They got to a place where they were strong and they can do the right thing. But instead of driving them out, they said, wait a minute. We can be crafty here and we can actually make some money off these boys. Let's just have them work for us. And I can just imagine all of them just kind of getting around and all these other tribes outside of Judah getting around each other and thinking and saying, yeah, you remember back when we were slaves in Egypt and the enemy was over us? It's our time now. But they were going about it the wrong way. Yeah, they got to a place and they were strong and perhaps they had a team huddle and they were trying to forge a plan together where they could get some money, get some things moving in their direction, but not drive them out. And in verse number 28, we see that. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. You see, it was always God's command to drive them out. Don't try to make any kind of league with them, no kind of alliance, no kind of covenant. But they did. And how many times in life is that even a problem with us, those who try to obey and those that try to do the right thing? If we're not careful, we'll try to get crafty and we'll try to entertain this little something or another in our little area of life and still go to church and do these other things. You see, the flesh can get crafty this morning. And these tribes, they tried to get crafty. If you read all the way down here, you'll see other times. I mean, verse number 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. Notice this in verse 29. But the Canaanites dwelt in Gezer among them. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Middle way through. But the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. They were trying to halfway obey. They were trying to please the flesh and trying to please God. They ultimately didn't drive them out. And I want to say there is no middle ground this morning. And I feel like I'm preaching to the choir this morning, but there is no middle ground this morning. There's no way that we can move fully ahead in our Christian life while trying to entertain the flesh. There's just no way it can happen. Doesn't matter how crafty we get. Doesn't matter if we feel like it's locked away in this secret place. God knows about it, and He wants it to go. And so we see a compromising was present. And not only the tribe of Benjamin, not only all these other tribes, Ephraim, Zebulun, Asher, they all just said, what's the use? The enemy's always going to be here, so let's just become one with them. Why even try? I want to say, church, we need to try. We need to continue to try. And I'll just say that to better your own personal Christian life, you need to try. But pre-adventure, there's probably somebody watching you and following you that's relying on you to continue on. There's no room to compromise. We have to move on and press toward the mark of the prize, but also we have to remember that there's others following us. And if we ever get to the place where we compromise our convictions and just become one with the world, trust me, you're not the only one. No man liveth and dieth to himself. It always has a ripple effect to others. I want to mention something else this morning. Not only do we see a compromise that was present, we see a command that was given. But then number three, we see the courageous fighting. Notice, if you would, in verse number 19. This was supposed to be my second point, but I'm backing up and giving it to you now. The courageous were fighting. Verse 19, and the Lord was with Judah. And he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. It was the courageous fighting. Judah was fighting in God's strength. Notice what he says, and the Lord was with Judah. And we all know when we're operating out of the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit, then we're overcomers. We succeed and we excel. But it's those, and it's the more specifically the tribe of Benjamin that did not do that. But they were courageous, Judah was. They were fighting in God's strength. They had victory after victory. And this is what you call the mountaintop experience. The mountaintop. He says, and the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain. Of the mountain. They were on the mountain. They had victory after victory. And I read to you a moment ago, they were on a winning streak. But now we see that their courage was beginning to wane a little bit. Not only Judah was fighting in God's strength, but we see that Judah was defeated in the valley. And this would be their valley low experience. But why were they defeated in the valley? Listen to me, church. Why were they defeated in the valley? I'll tell you why. Because their fear outweighed their faith. Notice in verse number 19 what was in the valley. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. There was these chariots of iron in the valley. You see, while they were on the mountaintop, I mean, they had victory after victory. They were actually on the mountain and they were fighting and they won and they won and they won. You know, life is easy when you're up on the mountain, but it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's where we're put to the test, aren't we? There was chariots of iron. And see, while they were on that, I mean, they had this winning streak, but while they were on that mountain, they were in the strength of God, and they were trusting God, and they were fighting, and they were winning. But when their eyes got on those iron chariots, their faith began to wane. And how many times in life does God bring us to mountaintop experiences? Listen, we know what it's like to win spiritually. We know what it's like to believe God. We know what it's like to get the results of a test, and it comes back negative, praise the Lord. At least in our house, we've experienced that twice in the past 2 weeks with our daughter. Negative, negative. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And we know what that's like. You know what that's like. There's a lot of praises, I'm sure, that you could give to the Lord this morning. We know what it's like to walk in the sunshine, and we know what it's like to be on the mountaintop. And life is easy on the mountain. But what about life in the valley? When everything you try to do, it's like you're being challenged by a chariot of iron. It's solid. It's stuck. It's not moving. It's not going anywhere. It's those things in life that you're trying to get out. But you're like Judah. You could not. It's not that you're not trying. It's not that you're not giving any effort. It's not that you're not praying. It's not that you're not reading your Bible or trusting the Lord. But some things are just hard to go. And no doubt when Judah was in the valley, these chariots of iron, they were coming their way, and it frightened them. At the very top of the verse, I read to you how that the Lord was with Judah. And he was still with Judah in the valley when those chariots of iron came their way. Still with them, it's just fear overcame their faith. Let us all remember that we are going to be in a battle till Jesus comes. It's going to be the devil. It's going to be the flesh. It's going to be the enticements to sin. But at the same time, we can go from did not to could not. And we can even go from did not to could not to did. That we have won some battles. Listen, don't let those chariots of iron, those hard calls that you get from the doctor, that's not good. And we've had some of those. But the setbacks at work and the setbacks and things you experience at home and this prayer hasn't been answered. Don't allow those things, those chariots of iron, to defeat you in the valley. Because the Bible says that the Lord was with Judah. I want to say the Lord is with us today. Those that are saved and know Him personally, He is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He is for us. He is with us. He is in us. And we can do all things by the Lord and His power that strengthens us this morning. We can do all things through Christ. But it's just in those times of the valley when we're not feeling our best. It's those times in the valley where things feel like they're unmovable. We're trying, we're fighting, we're battling. It's just not moving. But I do want to say this morning, these were the courageous ones. Although they could not drive out the chariots of iron in the valley, they were trying. And I want to let you know this morning, be encouraged, church. Keep on trying. Keep on taking swats at the ball. Keep on knocking down those altars and erecting good altars. It can happen to any of us. And you may be in the valley up against chariots of iron. But the same Lord that was on the mountaintop when you had victory is the same Lord that's in the valley low experience. We see the courageous fighting here. We see the command that was given. And the command was that of separation and demolition. But then also there were those who compromised. And we're not being hard on the compromise. It can happen to all of us. But it does need to be said in verse number 21. And the children of Benjamin did not. My prayer this morning is that none of us get to the place or stay at a place of not caring about our spiritual life. Not caring, not filtering things through that we interact with daily and on a weekly basis. But let us examine ourselves this morning. Number one, to see if we're in the faith. And if we truly are born again, let us filter some things through our life so that we may go from did not to could not. Could not is not a bad thing because they were trying, but did not is a bad thing. And it's an antonym. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You. We praise You, Lord, for who You are, for what You've accomplished in our lives. And sometimes, Lord, I feel like the message goes forth like a gun and it's over with. But I pray that something was grabbed during the process. Maybe, Lord, You've enlightened somebody's heart to the direction they need to go in life. And I pray in the next few moments, it's invitation that You would do business with the heart that needs it the most. We love You, we thank You, and we praise You in Jesus' name.